Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to another episode of The Real with Sage Single Moms. I am your host today, Natasha, and today's show is all about homeschooling as a single mom. Today on the show, we have Miss Jennifer Pink, who is the founder of the Sage Single Moms, and then we also have our guest on the show, Miss Kimberly, the outspoken mom. Miss Kimberly is a nurse, business owner, lactation consultant, breastfeeding advocate, a work-from-home mom, natural childbirth advocate, childbirth educator, doula, and monitrice. One of the many job titles this single mom holds, one title she takes very seriously is the homeschooling mom. Frustrated with today's educational system and is a product of both private schools and public schools herself. When she was pregnant with her son, she decided that he would be homeschooled. What she didn't plan on was raising her son by herself when her soulmate was killed in a motorcycle accident. In order to make homeschooling work as a single mom, she left her high-paying job to open up her own business, Belly Button Blessing Doula and Mytrice Services. There she has the flexibility to control her own schedule and focus and invest on her son's education. She homeschools for 5 to 6 hours in the morning or afternoon, and she works in the afternoon and evenings, teaching childbirth education classes and as a lactation consultant. She chronicles their homeschooling journey on her Instagram, which is at Southern Mocha Homeschooling Mom. Thanks, Ms. Kimberly, for joining us today. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I am amazing. Thank you. Thank you. And we have one other person on the line this morning. No? Okay.
Well,
just me. I'm sorry, y'all.
Just me, Miss Jennifer, but, you know.
I'm trying to learn about how y'all can be beasts and do all these things, because I'm over here like, I don't know if I could do it.
You can do it. You can do it.
So, Miss Kimberly, to get started, can you tell me, I mean, I know that you say that from the moment that you knew you were having your son that you wanted to homeschool, but what really led you to just know that this is something that you wanted to do?
Well, I grew up, like I said, in private and public school. I saw things that I didn't like about private schools and things that I loved, and I spent the last of my senior year, I left the private school that I went to that was, it was considered a very elite private school in Jackson. I mean, until this day, parents flock to send their kids there. Like, it's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
But when I made it to this public school, I was around children of color like myself. And that was something that I wanted to be around after not being around that for so long. I've noticed in the classroom, we didn't have books. And this was in the year 2000. Mm-hmm. We didn't have like a classroom set of books, and that was it. And then the stuff that they were teaching, especially in my biology class and in my English class, seniors are reading the Canterbury Tales. Well, I read that story back in seventh grade, but here it is, the public school in our area, the seniors are just now reading the story.
Mm-hmm.
So then you hear how parents will say, well, private education is best, it's this and that. I saw from the private school level of the school I went to, these kids were into drugs at a whole different level. Now, at the public school, all they were doing was smoking weed. At the private school I attend, they had ecstasy, LSD. I mean, these rich kids were getting all the, you know, as we would say, the real drugs.
Right. Wow.
So when people have that misconception, especially in my state, that, hey, I'm going to send my kids to these top two private schools in the state because they're the best, you also have a whole nother issue that you have to realize, that you have to focus on that they don't realize.
Mm-hmm.
So I just said, you know, when I graduated, if I ever had children, they were going to all be homeschooled. And even today, I am so glad with my decision because that same school district is now in danger of being taken over by the state. It's failing. These children still don't have books. This morning, they went to school without any heat in the school. They've been out of school since Christmas because there is no water. We had water issues. So the kids are just now going back to school. So I just, you know, I mean, I'm completely pleased with my child's education. We use the ABECA program. He takes standardized testing. It's accredited.
Okay.
The stuff that he's using, because I grew up using ABECA at the private schools I went to, he's on a higher level than his public school counterparts.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So he's never actually been to a public school at all. He's always been. Did you start from, like, what age did you start homeschooling?
We started
preschool. Okay.
2 years old.
Okay. Nice. So we have a similar story, different but similar, because I homeschool my youngest son. We've been homeschooling for 3 years, and I noticed the same thing that you did. Even though he was younger, he started homeschool. He started private school at 3 years old. And then he went all the way to kindergarten, and he really wasn't learning anything. So his is different because he has autism. Schools, when I took him to the public school, because the private school wasn't able to help him, so they decided that he needed to be in public school where they would have the accommodations for him. Well, they didn't. They didn't know how to teach, someone that didn't learn the way that they taught. So we spent 2 or 3 years in public school for no reason. So I decided, just like you, like I saw in your bio, I'm going to quit my job that I'm making great money in, and I'm going to teach my son myself. And so I've been doing it for 3 years, coming up on 4 years, and I feel like you, like, it's everything. I can actually see the difference. Like, you can see the difference from when you were in school as opposed to when the school system now, and I see the difference because it's way different. I have older kids that are in public schools, but they don't have books. They have laptops. And so guess what? The kids aren't learning how to do research. They're learning how to Google. So I'm with you there as far as the difference in education and lifestyles. And just because you are in a great neighborhood, quote unquote, great neighborhood, doesn't mean that you're getting the best education, or doesn't mean that it's the right environment for your child to be in. So I know that you said that you were the ABECA curriculum. Have you considered any other curriculums, or is that the only one that you've been using?
Well, I did. When he got to the age of kindergarten, I started researching. ABECA was always on my forefront because that's something that I grew up using. I researched Alpha and Omega, Our Father's World. The reason I chose ABECA was because ABECA was the only one who was accredited. I had homeschool curriculums tell me that there's no program that's accredited, and I had to do my own research. What they wanted to say was they're not accredited.
Right.
But ABECA is accredited. Because ABECA has been around for, I want to say, over 30 years.
Right.
Because I know I used them in kindergarten when I was little.
I know I used ABECA. This is Jennifer. I went to Montessori school, and I know we used ABECA.
ABECA is actually the only box curriculum program. And what I mean by box curriculum, when my son was in preschool, I had to write out my own curriculum. And that was getting frustrated. Sometimes I want to pull out my hair. But when you buy a box curriculum set, everything you need is in that big, huge box, from your lesson plans down to the books to your teacher edition. Everything is in that box curriculum pack. And with ABECA, ABECA is accredited. They let you know they're accredited. They're the only program on the market that's accredited. When you you can sign your child up for the accredited program or the non-accredited program. It's the same price. You just got the option that you want to be under the accredited. I chose the accredited because life happens. I didn't expect to be a single mom, but I'm here. Something may happen to where my son has to enter the public or private school. We may leave out the state and, you know, go to a wonderful school district. Well, by my son being accredited, we don't have to really take a test to get back into school. All his school transcripts are with ABECA. He gets a report card from ABECA.
Okay.
But he's at home.
Right. And so when you were doing the when you were piecing together his curriculum yourself, and you found that to be more difficult because it all didn't come in one, do you feel like it was more time consuming?
It was time consuming writing out my lesson plans. Let's put it that way. With Rebecca,
right.
You get a year's worth of lesson plans in your box curriculum.
Right.
And I love that. It's like a huge, you know, binder, and these are all your lesson plans.
Right.
So,
and I'll say to that, go ahead, I'm sorry.
I love that. Yeah, I'm sorry. Okay, I love that. Instead of me having to sit down at night with all my workbooks and say, hey, we're going to do this unit, this is what we're doing, this and that, that was the time-consuming part for me. It was an investment. I enjoyed it, but it was so time-consuming because I would have to put him somewhere so he doesn't come bother me while I write out these lesson plans. Now all I got to do is just flip over to, like, day 100. Okay, this is what we're doing.
That's
this
it.
Is what I need to pull down. Everything, you know, everything is already written out.
Right. That's lovely. I wish that worked for me just because of how my son learns. I can't do it like that. So I have to pull from, the different resources because he learns a lot better hands-on. He learns a lot better of going in the store with the grocery list and doing something different. I wish. that we've benefited from Rebecca, and that's a joy of homeschooling, as you know, Kimberly, because everything is not etched in stone. You don't have to do it a certain way. The joy, the benefit of homeschooling is that you can alter it every day if you need to. You don't have to.
And that's what we do. We alter it every day.
Right. That's beautiful.
This is Jennifer. So, I mean, I tease and I play and I say I don't think I have the patience. I might end up killing a kid. I mean, I'm teasing, but it might be true. But, I mean, my thing has always been, I mean, I think I'm a pretty smart chick, you know, like I can pass statistics in college, you know. Not everybody can do that. So I think I'm pretty smart. But it just seems like when it comes to teaching my kids, and not the young ones, not the, you know, the 4-year-old, 5-year-old, 6-year-old, but like my teenager, I swear I just want to like pull my hair out. Like, I know I learned 8th grade math. I know what I'm saying is right, but it's just like I can't seem to find a way to teach her. Is that like, does how do you get around stuff like that?
You have to find a way for them to learn. That's what I have to do with my son.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just, you know, we're on first grade, teaching him place value. And I can do math simple. I have not a problem with math. And in my mind, I think what I know, you should already know. And I have to think about that mind frame and like, okay, if there is something he's doing on a lesson that I see he's struggling on, and that's the beauty of homeschooling, you see your kids where they struggle, and then you can see how far they come when they master it.
Right.
I also use what I call filler work besides Rebecca's box curriculum. When he was stuck on place values, I went online, I found some free websites, printed out extra worksheets from the printer.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to sit down and we're going to work on this. I had some materials to where we can do hands-on learning. Let's get this down pat.
Right.
So you can understand it.
Right.
And it's just,
and that's,
you know, messing around, but kind of, you know, moving around different stuff to figure out what is the best method or best way to teach your child in an area that they're struggling in.
Mm-hmm. And again, I'm not anti-public school when I say this, but if you don't get it in public school, you don't necessarily get a good grade for that, and life goes on. You keep moving because they can't sit and wait for you to get it. Whereas you're in homeschooling, if your son doesn't understand place value, then guess what? You can spend 2 weeks plus minus on place value until you get it. You don't have to move along until you get it, because there's nothing. If you move past place value and you don't understand place value, then guess what? When it comes to doing money, or when it comes to something, you know, different, or even fractions, anything, your foundation was kind of crumbled up a little bit. So it's hard for you to gather the things that come next when you don't get the first part. So that's another thing that I like to say about homeschooling that's great, is I can spend that time on place value. For my son, I can spend that time on multiplication. because there is no, who says that we have to get it in these 2 days that's allotted for us to get it? We have plenty of time to get that. In regards to what Ms. Jennifer said, Kimberly, a lot of parents feel like they can't homeschool their child because they, you know, feel like they don't have the knowledge, or I didn't go to college, or when I was in school, I did bad, or just I don't have the patience to do it. Like, you just feel like there's no way in the world I would have the patience to homeschool my child. I'm with them all evening, all night, and you want me to be with them all day too? Like, what do you say to parents, Kimberly, that feel like they just, like, I don't know if this is something that I can do. Even though I want to, I don't know if this is something that I really can do.
That's when I tell them to look into homeschooling co-op. But this is the thing with homeschooling co-op. They're not ran like a public school. I'm going to only speak from the ones in my area, in my state of Mississippi. We have several. They're on the university model, meaning that they're going to meet every other day, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. They may meet, and I'm just throwing out of time, guys, because I don't have their hours of operation in front of me, but they may meet, let's say, from 10 to 1 those days. And I'm guessing, because, like I said, my child isn't in these co-ops, but from what I know from parents to kids are some of these teachers are actually parents, and they rotate. Like, this mom may teach math this day it may teach English. But they're not free. You have to actually pay to have your child go here. So that will be something that you can look into, is finding a homeschooling co-op. But don't expect that co-op to be in the same hours of operation as a public school or a private school. And you will have to pay. But as far as patience, I think you will learn patience, because I had to learn patience, especially with teaching him how to read. I had to learn it.
I want to be in a homeschooling co-op, but I want to be in it with you, Kimberly. Like, can you move to Georgia?
Right.
Like,
you
how
know,
does that
Georgia
work?
Is one of my states. I don't plan on being in Mississippi long, but that is
you
why
know you don't like it. You know you don't like it.
I don't. But that is one of my states. I've tried to start co-ops here in my town, you know, but it never pans out. I will have a lot of interest and people wanting to do it, and then parents will back out. I don't know if people are under the misconception of homeschooling is free. Yes, there are a lot of resources you can use that is free. Homeschooling itself is an investment, and it's not 100% free. Like I said, you can go online and find free websites and free printable materials, but you still need a printer and you need ink and paper. That costs money.
Right.
You know,
I love it, because I think we forget that part. Like,
I want to homeschool. Then you have the part of, well, I can't afford homeschooling. Back to Abeka again, and I love Abeka. And people, Abeka is not paying me to promote them. I just love them that much. Most people say Abeka is too expensive and it's too much like real school. My friend and I laugh because her daughter goes to a private school in Jackson, and she pays almost $700 a month. And her child is the same age as my child. They both use the Abeka program. I pay $989 for the complete box curriculum from Abeka. One time a year.
Right.
Our child is getting the same education. But with Abeka, you don't have to come up with that almost $1,000 at one time. $250 down, and Abeka will put you on a payment plan of $85 a month. People seem to not know that or not research that. Abeka is also the only program I found who offer payment plans. All you need is $250 down. Give Abeka your start date. You can pay your $250 now, and instead everybody's going to make their income tax. You can either pay it off now, or you can pay them your $250 and get put on a payment plan with Rebecca.
Right.
But what I always wonder, and you kind of just touched on it, is the part where people say, like, it's too much like real school. Is real school a problem? I mean, to me, like, the problem is the fact that they're not really teaching.
That's
the problem.
I never understand that either.
That's the problem.
I don't know that school itself is a problem, though. I mean, if you find a good one, it what's bad? Like, don't we need some sort of discipline and structure? And, you know, and I get that our kids learn differently, and you should definitely be able to explore and expound on what helps your child the most. But at the same time, you know, school is preparation for the real world.
Uh-huh.
Like, I mean, you kind of have to know how to deal with people you don't like. You have to know how to clock in and clock out, you know, every day. Mm-hmm. You know, even if you want to be an entrepreneur, like, if you don't learn these skills, you, like, will find yourself not able to succeed ever in life. So I just don't understand that concept. Like, it's too much like school. What?
I don't know if it's the amount of work that the kids have to do, because I've had people shocked to know that we homeschool between 5 and 6 hours a day. And I'm like, your kid is in private school that long.
Right.
And it's some of the lessons, like when school first starts for us, some of the first few lessons are like a review of the last grade. So school is actually like 3 hours. Then as you process on through the curriculum, school is actually 5 to 6 hours.
Mm-hmm.
They do, you know, you have a lot of extras that you have to buy yourself when it comes to manipulatives. You know, okay. They do some hands-on stuff. They do a lot of stuff. Some stuff you have to actually send back for them to grade. But I don't get, you know, I can never fathom when people say, this is too much like real school. And I'm like, I don't get what you're saying. the purpose is to educate your child. And I do understand that there are different styles of homeschooling. You have the unschoolers, then you have the structured homeschoolers, and I consider ourselves more structured than we are unschooling.
Mm-hmm. I think for us, with me and my son, I want to say, I was sitting here thinking when you were talking about the time, how long we homeschool per day. And I'm not sure if you do the same, Kimberly, but I don't do all of my quote unquote schooling at the same time. Like, we might do 2 hours in the morning. We might take an hour and a half lunch. And by lunch, I mean, we may go to the store. Well, guess what? We're schooling there because you have a list. And this is what these things cost. And when we get home, we need to talk about that. So we were schooling while we were at the store. We were talking about things that we saw on the way. And then at nighttime, we're going to read, or we're going to review what we went over throughout the day. And so I think a lot of people don't understand that even though your child may be in public school, when you're riding down the street and you ask your 3-year-old, what does that sign say? And they can say that it says stop up. Oh, that's schooling. Like, schooling is not just sitting down at the table writing on this piece of paper. It's everyday life skills. And the life skills are what they don't teach in public schools, unless you have that title for that semester.
That sounds exactly like our schedule. I mean, his required reading, if we're headed to speech therapy, he's in the back seat of the car reading. If we're going to Walmart so mama can go grocery shopping, he has a reading basket. He grabs one of his books so we can mark out reading while we're in the back seat of the car.
Yep. Mm-hmm. It's about thinking outside the box. It's about getting out of, because you homeschool, not necessarily because you don't like, it's not, you don't homeschool just because you don't like public school. You can homeschool because it works better for your family. You may have a spouse that is in the military, and so you're moving a lot. And so to prevent you from having to switch your child from this school to this school every year, 2 years, you decide to teach your child at home. So I'm not saying, and I'm sure Kimberly isn't saying, that you homeschool because you can't stand the public school system. So that's not what it is. It may work for your family. And so people have to think about that too. Like, it's not like we're just saying, you know, homeschool is the best education. I have kids in public school, and high schoolers that are in public school. And guess what? I could never homeschool them. It would never be an option for me to teach my 16-year-old boys. I just wouldn't be able to do it. But starting from my son being 7 and up until now that he's 11, it works perfectly. And so you just have to think about what it is that you have to be able to think outside the box when it comes to teaching your child. And you have to be able to, like we were saying earlier, give and take. Everything is not going to be the same every day. So you just have to be able to, you know, give some and take some. Kimberly, what about socialization? Do you get a lot of, I know for me I do, well, how's your child, what is that social life like? You know, you're at home with that? Yes.
That.
Oh, gosh.
That gets my nerves because here's the double standard. You think because my kid is homeschooled, he's unsocialized. But when you take your kid to private or public schools, what do the teachers always tell them? You're not here to socialize.
Yep.
You know, my child is very socialized. There, like I said, find other homeschoolers in your area. People have play dates. People have park dates to where your kid can be around other homeschools. Now, what I have about that is I'm not going to interrupt my homeschool day because I'm guessing some of these moms are just stay-at-home moms. They have a husband, so they're not worried about the bills. The late afternoons, is when this mama becomes a working mama, and I have to work. So I can't interrupt our homeschool day to go sit at the coffee house and chat with the rest of the mamas while our kids play or send our kids to the park. That 10 o'clock in the morning is our teaching time. Unless mama is working a birth, then we have night school.
Right.
So we go out. I take him to the park. We go to the children's museum. We go to the art museum. You know, he's around other kids.
Right.
And he's an extrovert, so he's very friendly. He has no problem with socialization. He will speak to anybody.
Right, right. That, and socialization
that is, like
is... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Pet peeve. Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, but that is my pet peeve. They just think our kids are sheltered and we don't socialize.
Mm-hmm.
But then you're getting in trouble for talking in the classroom. And I'm like,
exactly.
Hey, but you send them to school for socialization. That's what they're doing.
Yep. Exactly. It's like you said, a huge misconception. And also, socialization is not talking to the people that are the same age on the same level as you. It's not socialization. Your child, if my child can only communicate with other 11-year-olds, then they're not being socialized. If, you know, you have to be able to, when they have co-ops and stuff like that, it's not all the kids that are the same age group. That's how you learn. You learn from people that are all over. You don't just learn from people that are on the same level as you. So that's not socialization. And then when you're in school and you're not permitted to talk or someone gets in trouble in your class and so you're now on silent lunch or when you have that recess and you're only outside for 30 minutes, when are you socializing? When are you talking? So
and
it's not the
education is not catered to them versus a home student.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, that's like my pet peeve 3,469 too. Like that is not socialization, you know. And my child is very well able to speak, you know, for himself and able to talk to people now just because of, you know, who he is and who he is on the inside. It's not as easy for him, but it's not because he's not in public school. That's because that's just who he is. That's not anything to do with him being in public school. And he talks perfectly fine to people that, you know, he's used to and he warms up to, but that's completely different. That's a different situation.
And that's what people need to realize. It's a difference from, it's a personality trait from being shy and being unsocial. Because I know private school students who are extremely shy.
Right.
You know, it's not, you know, they're not unsocialized. They're just shy. And those are personality traits. Just because a child who's homeschooled don't speak to you doesn't mean, they need to be socialized. I got in that when my child was, you know, my child never went to daycare. And I was told, your baby needs to go to daycare, this and that. But the people who are telling me this had babies who wouldn't go to anybody, who were so unfriendly. But my baby would let anybody hold things. I was like, you know, I'm not seeing your logic.
Right.
And these same people say the same thing now that our kids are elementary age students. Your child is still shy. That's just her personality trait.
Right.
But they swear up and down, if you homeschool, your child won't have any social skills. So you don't go to church. You don't go to the store. You know, help me understand how your child is not going to have any social skills.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of it's just that people just don't know. When you don't know something, you assume, which is horrible. And that's just, I mean, not just about homeschooling. That's just period. But instead of assuming that our kids are just mutes and, you know, they don't talk, they don't do anything, ask, find out, do your own research. You might find out that it's a great idea, and you might decide that, you know, it works for you. Or it could be because you feel like you can't do it, then nobody can do it, you know. But find out, ask questions about it. That way you know if it's something that you really can do. And I think anybody can if you want to. Not saying that you have to. Like I said, my kids, I have public school and homeschool. So if anybody can do it, but it is, like you said earlier, Kimberly, a commitment. It is an investment in your time and your finances. And, mm-hmm. you know, you have to be willing to commit, because you can't have your child being homeschooled and then all day goes or all week goes and you haven't done anything. So yeah. It is a commitment that you have to make. When we were talking about socialization and just different people, how do you feel about the support that you receive or don't receive? Has your family and friend or your village, have they always kind of supported you in homeschooling your son?
I have always received support from my friends that I homeschool with, you know. Mm-hmm. I am not close to my family, so I believe in removing toxic energy away from you. So I say, if anyone who is not receiving support, remove that toxic energy. I have mm-hmm. been with several homeschooling families who say, hey, my family don't support that we do this. Okay, remove them, because you're doing what's best for your family.
Right.
You don't need that, you know, energy around you while you're trying to teach your kids.
Right.
Or while you're trying to homeschool, you know, I do this and do that. You don't need folks around telling them, oh, let me quiz your kids. Because I would stop you. Mm-hmm. That's something I hate. I would stop you. My child mm-hmm. would prove that he's already educated without you trying to quiz him.
Right. Right.
You know, because when they see my 7-year-old writing in cursive and be like, well, yeah, he started writing in cursive when he was in kindergarten.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you don't need to quiz him.
Right.
When he can rattle out, you know, the states and the states' capitals. You don't, you know, he's fine. I just
right.
tell them, you know, worry about your own child's education.
Right.
Instead of worrying what's going on here at our home school.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But
my
friends are completely supportive.
Right.
They, as a matter of fact, they call me if they see something that they think I can use for homeschooling. Girl, I see this in the store, and I'm going to take a picture. You want me to grab it for you?
Mm-hmm. Yep, grab it. Yes. That's amazing. I think that's a big part, too. You have to – well, you don't have to, because I have a lot of passive-aggressive supporters that, you know, I support you to your face, but then behind your back, it's just like, well, you know, he didn't do anything today, you know. And it's
I have
just,
that, too. That's why we had to completely separate ourselves, because it's like, in my face or via emails, oh, they're so supportive, but
mm-hmm.
behind my back, they're not.
Right.
So I just completely, you know, remove myself from it.
Right. Right. And you owe nobody an explanation. You know, like, it's not for you to understand. I didn't ask your permission when I decided to homeschool. I'm not reporting to you. And so while I love you, I can love you from a distance, because, like you said, the toxic energy doesn't benefit what we have going on over here. You know what I mean? And like you said, you have to kind of separate yourself from those that don't support you and let the people that do support you love on you and do that, you know, and not worry about who may not agree with it, because it's going to be that. I mean, that's just life, period. Homeschooling, anything else, everybody's not going to agree with what you want.
It depends on what mood you caught me in when you know, you asked me a snarky comment, because it's a difference from being truly interested in homeschooling and making petty, snide remarks.
Right.
Because I've had people who were family members. My cousin knew I homeschooled. He saw when UPS dropped the boxes of curriculum off. And he asked me, what about that private school down the street from you? Oh, this is Kim. She homeschooled. Do you know this church got a private school? Do you know this got a private school? And I said,
mm-hmm.
I don't give a blank about this church private school.
Right.
Yes, I know that. That's wonderful. I homeschool. I want you to respect my decision. I respect your decision and your sexual preferences, and I'm not trying to tell you, hey, have you seen this girl? Have you seen this girl? Same thing with me in homeschooling. Don't come to me and ask me, what about this school? What about that school? or get your friends to say, oh, you homeschool. Well, you know there's a private school here. There's a I'm very, you know, aware. I'm glad there are private schools there and there. They will not offer a specialized or a catered or personalized education to my son. Because I have your parents call me and say, my first grader isn't reading yet. They don't want to read them books that they got to read in the classroom. Where I have the option of to get my child to become a bookworm like his mama, he loves superheroes. Let me find all the step in the reading superhero books I can find.
Hmm.
They don't have that option because they already have what books the kids got to read.
Right.
You know, that they're going to teach them Jack and Jill went up the hill, and, you know, your kid got to read those little books.
Mm-hmm.
Where I can just take that out and be like, okay, here, let's read about Batman. And we're on level one. Mm-hmm. Let's read that book and get him to read that.
So I'm going to just interject a little bit. Now, this is one of the things that did excite me about homeschooling was the fact that we could actually teach our kids the truth.
Oh, right. Yes.
For lack of a better word.
Right.
We do not sugarcoat or whitewash history.
At all. And you're not going to get it in school.
So I'm going to ask, did you guys, because I know that's probably not in, you know, any curriculum.
Well, even with Rebecca, and it's on my profile, there is times to where I had to stop the lesson and be like, oh, wait, did they just say this? I posted on Facebook when my son was learning about China. According to the video teacher, because with the Rebecca DVD program, there are certain lessons to where a kid has to watch the DVD. And the teacher on the DVD said the Great Wall of China was to keep the people in, and people are trying to climb out over the wall, and they have guards on the tower. And I was shocked. I was so shocked. I went on Facebook Live to do a video about this.
I don't think that's what the Great Wall of China was. That's interesting.
You know, so I was like, oh, my God, we're not supposed to have this issue with homeschooling. But, yes, even in the box curriculums, you have that same history. And that becomes our love-hate relationship with Rebecca, to where I had to stop that, get in the car, come on, baby, we're going to the library.
Yep.
We're finna check out as many books as we can, and we're finna learn the truth. As far as this whole unit on China, I'm Xing it out the curriculum right now. We're not doing it your way.
Right.
Mama's going to teach you the truth. And so I was
thinking,
if that's what they were teaching, what is in the public schools or, you know, textbooks about China?
Right. That's just about, that's just like the 1 month that they teach about people of color.
Yeah.
And, you know, listen, I have a whole 365 days full of people of color that I can teach you about.
We're not going to give that
to the shortest month of the year. That's not what we're going to do. You know, we're going to teach you about this continuously so that when Martin Luther King Day comes, you already know what it is. You know, I don't have to try to cram it in on this one day. We can review, but you already knew what that was. You already knew what it was. Even when I was in school and they taught what they considered to be history or social studies. I didn't learn a lot about Black history. I didn't learn a lot about that. They taught us what they wanted us to know. They didn't speak about, you know, things that, that happened to us, you know, our ancestors and things like that. They didn't teach us about that. They covered that up, and they talked about the great things that these certain presidents did or the great things that these people that, that had phrase did. You know, they didn't teach us the things that I teach my son. We will not skip over who you are and where you came from. We will not.
I completely agree. I cannot remember once, and like I said, I grew up in private and public school, of us learning about Black history. When I learned about Black history, it was freshman year at Jackson State University, and C. Lee Megan in his classroom. They looked at me like, you know, they couldn't realize where I come from. And when they found out what private school I went to, they were like, yeah,
You were the only one of your kind in your classroom, huh?
They were talking about
that's terrible.
I'm like, who is Angela Davis? Because there was a girl in our classroom named Angela Davis, and our teacher was like, you're named after a powerful woman. And I'm like, okay, who is Angela Davis? I've never heard of her. You know, I don't want that for my child, for him to have to go to a HBCU to learn about African-American history, because I didn't learn about
right.
it. But I make it a point, even at 7 years old, to teach him about African-American history.
Mhm. Yep. And it's not like it's not offered. It's not even as an elective, you know, when you're in high school, that's not an elective. You like you said, you're in college and you have to choose African American studies or something like that. You have to sign up for that class. That's nothing that they intentionally don't teach you. You know, they intentionally leave it out. And so you go through life unless you have you know, and not even saying anything against parents, but unless you have a parent that makes sure that you know about it, you don't know about it. And ignorance is not okay right now for people of color. You have to know where you came from, because you need to know why this person just said what they said to you. You need to know why you need to be on guard if you get pulled over. You need to know why you need to make yourself aware of your surroundings more than your people that you hang with, or your counterparts, your peers that don't have to worry about it. One of my twins goes to a predominantly white school. And when I tell you I can count on two hands the people of color that are in that school, like literally. So while everybody is hee-hee and a ha-ha because you're very social, you need to be aware.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that these people aren't amazing people and amazing, you know, you don't have a great group of friends, but you still need to be aware. And I still need to make sure that you are aware. And that's why, again, something that you don't have to be a homeschool parent to teach your child about where they came from. You have to teach them anyway. You have to make sure that they know anyway, because the real world is going to be the real world whether you learn about it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Where is my slow clap emoji? Oh, my goodness.
Just be ready. Just be ready. So that's something that, you know, is a benefit of the homeschooling, Kimberly, just being able to teach things that the schools don't teach you. Like you were saying, you teach your son, you know, your son knew how to write cursive in first grade or 7 years old, I think you said.
They don't teach cursive. Started in kindergarten. And I was shocked when I ordered my Bethel curriculum and I saw the cursive manuscript and then these cursive big flashcards put up around the room. I called them and was like, hey, I think y'all sent me some third grade material. And they were like, no, we teach cursive in kindergarten. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. I was focusing on manuscript in preschool. And
mm-hmm.
I just thought, like, hey, how is he going to catch it? But he caught right yep. on, and his handwriting looks better than mine.
Mm-hmm. How you want your child to? How do you expect them to sign a mortgage if they don't know what how to sign their name? When my older kids took it out. When they shouldn't. How you can't? That is important. Like my kids didn't even know how to read cursive writing. That's my older kids.
Well, you know when I realized that they took it out was during the Trayvon Martin trial when his friend could not read the document that was written in cursive, and they made her look like a fool on the stand. And because the defense attorney for Zinnerman asked her, you can't read it, it's in cursive. And here she is, 18 years old, and she was like, no. And they tried to make her look like an idiot. And I asked several of my friends who are educators, and they teach in the public schools. I was like, hey, do they not teach cursive handwriting anymore? Because I don't understand why this 18-year-old couldn't read cursive. And they were like, nope, they haven't taught cursive in over 15 years.
Wow.
I was like, oh, my God.
Wow. It's a huge difference. And, you know, again, that's why I think it's important for people to just be aware, even if homeschooling isn't something that you want to do, be aware that you can teach your child at home. Even if you don't take them
mm-hmm.
out of the school system, you can teach them different things at home. And it's still, you know, it's still a form of learning. It's still they're probably getting something that they are not getting at school. So, Kimberly,
I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you for joining us. We went over a lot, and I know I can tell in your voice that you are passionate about homeschooling just like me.
Yes.
So I just thank you so much for joining us today on the Sage Single Moms Group. And what if you could give one or two tips for people who either don't understand homeschooling, considering homeschooling, or even first-year homeschooling, because that was a hard year. Even first-year homeschooling parents, can you give me, like, two tips to just kind of give them a little edge?
Will be to research by Googling the homeschooling laws in your state, because that's where a lot of misconception comes from. Many people think, well, you have to be certified to teach in order to homeschool your child, or if I homeschool, the state's going to send a teacher out to teach my child. No. Research the laws, because some states aren't as homeschooling friendly as Mississippi. In Mississippi, all I have to do is file a letter of intent to homeschool my child. And in that little, it's like an index size card, they'll ask you what, you know, give us a brief description of the program. All I do is put a Becca.com, you know. So if the state of Mississippi Department of Education ever want to come knock on my door and be like, we want to see transcripts, we want to see what you're teaching your child, I can contact Becca and have them fax them whatever they need.
Right.
So in your state, wherever you are, research your state's homeschooling laws, because some states you have to submit in lesson plans so the state can know what you're teaching. And then you don't want to have truant officers at your door wondering why your kid isn't in school. So that's the first tip. Research and learn about homeschooling laws in your state. Second tip is, you know, just do it. Go all in. You don't have to have a lot of money, even though it is a huge time and investment. You don't have to set up a homeschooling classroom, because I have one set up and we rarely are in there. We'll homeschool in the living room or in the bedroom. Although in my mind I'm thinking, I got this dedicated room for you.
Yes,
you don't need that. I mean, all you need to do is just be there with your child and your material. And it can take place anywhere, in the car, in the office, at the waiting room, because we have done that while we were waiting for doctor's appointments.
Okay.
But that's it. You set the schedule.
We'll take full advantage of that homeschooling room when you come down to Georgia for our co-op. Don't worry.
Okay.
Full advantage.
Just pick the whole room up and take it to Georgia.
Just pick it up.
Thank you so much, Kimberly. Like, I really, really appreciate that. On your social media, do you have anything that is pertaining specifically to homeschooling that people can follow you on?
Yeah, my Instagram. And it's at Southern Homeschooling Mocha. Wait, what is that? Y'all, that is just awful. I don't even know my Instagram name.
Southern Mocha Homeschooling Mom.
Yes. I don't know why it's so loud. I mean, long, people had asked me, why did we talk about that long homeschooling name?
but you found me.
But yes, that's it. And I just chronicle, like, hey, this is, we're reading this book, our materials, extra materials I found at Dollar Tree, Target, Walmart. I mean, you can be surprised what you're going to find, especially teaching materials for a dollar.
Yes. Yes. So amazing. Ms. Jennifer Pink, did you want to say anything before we left today?
Other than just really putting it out in the atmosphere, because, you know, they say you put it into the universe and it'll come back to you, for Miss Kimberly to come on and mosey on this way. or maybe we can meet somewhere in the middle so that she can we can homeschool co-op the new baby. Jadora, you want to homeschool co-op with Miss Kimberly? She said yes. You can't hear her, but she said it. that would just be the biggest thing. And I really hope that this show really encourages a single mom, because I know that a lot of times as single moms we feel like we can't do things that other mothers can do, right? Like, we feel like we're limited in what we can and cannot do. And I just really hope that this is an encouragement, you know. I know y'all heard that resume. Like, Kimberly is just the master of everything. Like, I just bow in her presence, you know. So if she can do it, you can do it. And, you know, I know that Tasha, you homeschool as well.
I mean, and if three people can homeschool, we all can homeschool. You know, it's just that simple.
Right.
And find out what works for you, I think. I know homeschooling is a very realistic possibility with this new baby. So you never know. I may be telling y'all I'm homeschooling.
Yes. We're here for it. We can start our little sister network. We can co-op virtually. We'll have to figure that out.
Yes, you can do that virtually.
Yes, yes. Well, again, my name is Tasha. It is time to get out of here. But before we do, I'd like to thank our sponsors. Again, thank you so much, Kimberly, for joining us. We appreciate it. Thank you for our listeners and, of course, our network family. Make sure you stay connected to Sage Network, Sage, S-A-G-E Network, by liking, following, hearting us all on social media at Sage Mentoring. And until next week, stay safe, avoid the drama, and raise them babies. Tonight.